God bless you, Noah. It's a very precious step to take, step of baptism. That's a beautiful thing. I remember the day that I was baptized. It's about 57 years ago. Your testimony, and especially you sharing that verse from Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, that's very precious, very precious. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Yeah, I challenge you, young man, take that verse. Go all the way with that verse. Trust him. Trust him with all your heart. And you'll never, ever regret it. It's precious. God bless you. Well, the Lord bless you, dear people of Grace Mennonite Church. Thank you that you've allowed us to be here again, my dear wife and myself. It's good to see people come and greet us. God bless you real good. We are very thankful to be here, and we send greetings from our little fellowship in Stratton to you, and may you be encouraged even this very day, as it's a special day for your fellowship. Before we go into the message, let's bow our heads in prayer. Almighty Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this day. It's a day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, oh God, I pray, come down and visit us here, right here, right here, in every single heart. Father, touch me and fill me. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Christ that washes me and cleans me and delivers me and makes me his. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. My citizenship is in heaven, and look forward to that day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so, my dear people, I will address you as my children. Just like the Apostle Paul or the Apostle John. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again and again and again till Christ be formed in you. I want to speak this morning on the call to revival. And my main thrust is this, or theme. The call to revival is the call to repentance. Woe to that man that says, we don't need repentance anymore after we've come to Christ. But like it says in Colossians chapter 2, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. How did I receive him? I received him by repenting. And I must repent again today. And again. Don't you know it's the goodness of God that leads me to repentance? It is. If you feel convicted this morning, praise God. It's good to repent. It's good to acknowledge I am a sinner. Yes, I've been saved. I'm a saint because he called me to be his child, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I belong to Jesus. But every day, and sometimes at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, God says to me, like he did about a week or I don't know how long ago, he said, John, you are proud. And I had to repent. And so, I want to read different scriptures, and I desire that God's word would speak to us, and to me, especially to me. What is your attitude to this, the word of God? When I hear different messages, or I hear men speak especially, I think, how can they? My question to us this morning is this: are you a doer of God's word, or are you a judge of God's word? Are you a doer of God's word, or are you a judge of God's word? And we might say, how can such a thing be? I would never, ever judge this. But James says in James chapter 4, if I speak evil of my brother, I'm a judge. I make myself a judge. I speak evil of the law, and I'm a judge. I make myself a God. Who are you, he says, that will judge another? God wants us a clean bride. Very soon, Jesus will come. Very soon. He will come. He will come. And so even as we read God's word, may we do what it says in Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. May we tremble at God's word. May we tremble, because it's going to judge me. It's going to judge me. And if I don't live it out, and I know it's there, it's going to judge me. And one set of verses, two verses that speak to me very, very much, is Mark chapter 4, verse 24 and 25. And there it says this: he that has much, to him will be given. He that has little, from even what he has, what he seems to have, it will be taken away. And so I desire all that God is to give to me. I want it all. I desire to be filled with the word of God. And so if I only spend a little bit of time in God's word, how can I expect that God's going to give me much? But I want more. I want more. I want more and more and more. I'm a thirsty man. I long for the word of God to fill me and to drench me, to soak me. I long to be driven by eternity. Let's turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I'm going to read two psalms, Psalm 84 and Psalm 85. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. That means they will be repeatedly praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also fills the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. I'm always amazed when God calls himself the God of Jacob. Wow. O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thy anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Oh God, thank you for that. Wilt thou not revive us again? Wilt thou not stir up in me, O God, a greater thirst for God's word, a greater longing to have a much deeper walk with God, that my inner man will be strong, will be real strong. Fear is such a terrible, terrible thing. Fear grabs a hold of people. And when the leader is afraid, his people easily become afraid too. Just like in the case of King Saul. He was a mighty man. He was tall. His shoulders were at least this high than his head taller yet. But he was a man of fear. He was a man of fear. He could not inspire his soldiers to be men of strength and men of courage. But they were men of shame. That's why Eliab said to David, "Why are you coming here? Why are you coming here? You want to just watch the battle? Why? You go back to your sheep." Eliab spoke like that because he was a man of shame. He was ashamed that he did not go against Goliath. Here comes little David. He's going to fight against Goliath. Eliab was a man of shame. Shame. Because his heart was weak like water. But David was a young man that trusted God. And he had a jealous heart for God. Wilt thou not revive us again that the people may rejoice in thee, in you, O God? God grant us men, women of true courage, heavenly courage. But we cannot, like Joshua said, you can't. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, we will too. No, you can't. Joshua said, you can't. Really? But they said we can. No, you can't. No. Put away your idols. Put them away. Then you can. But if you're idle, you cannot. With sin in your life, you cannot follow God. With sin in your life, you cannot be strong. With sin in your life, you cannot be faithful to Jesus. You cannot be revived. You've got to deal with the sin in your life. Joshua found that out when he thought they were going to fight Ai. And there was sin of one man. And sin made them weak. And they had to run. All of them ran because of sin. And we are weak. We are weak. Wir sind schwach, wenn wir kennen nicht jedem den Feind gehen, wenn wir sind so schwach. Wir haben Sünden in uns Leben. And we have to repent. The call to revival is a call to repentance. We desire to be men and women of strength to inspire the young folks around us. Let's go. Let's go with God. Let's pursue holiness. But we can't because we're sinning our lives. We need to address the sin. They're just little things, we say. They're just little foxes, cute little things. But they spoil the vine. They spoil the tender grapes. And they take away the joy out of your life. And they take away the strength out of you. Slowly, bit by bit, they sap the strength out of you. If we don't deal with sin in our life, we don't realize how bad sin is. Let sin be sin, that we would understand the exceeding sinfulness of sin. But people don't like to listen to that. You don't. I don't. No. Why don't you say something positive? That's how the flesh speaks. Do you know what it means to follow God? Do you know what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? What did Jesus say? If any man will follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christian, whoever you are, do you know what it means to deny yourself? Do you know what it means to be dead to yourself? Do you know what it means to deny your own thoughts, your own visions, your own desires, and to realize I am dead? My life is hid with Christ in God. If I harbor in my heart bad feelings against somebody else, I am weak. If I hold a grudge against somebody, whoever it may be, I am ripe for judgment. James chapter 5, I think it is 5. 5 verse, well, I should look it up. James chapter 5. Verse 9. Grudge not one against another. Brethren, he's talking to Christians. Grudge not one against another. Brethren, lest you be condemned, behold, the judge stands before the door. Not inside the door, before the door. We are going to be condemned if we have grudges in our heart. I cannot afford in the least bit to harbor any hurt feelings. Any hurt feelings. Some people might think they can. I cannot. You know why? It's satanic. It's devilish. If you have any hurt feelings, that comes from Satan. Jesus said so. Matthew chapter 16. He says this to Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. You do not savor the things that be of God, but be of men. Peter was saying, oh, no, Jesus, no, you're not going to, that's not going to happen to you. He had the feeling, the thought of self-preservation. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Grudge not again once again. If I harbor feelings of being hurt by somebody else, I have not learned this statement, this truth of what it means to follow Jesus. If any man will follow after me, let him deny himself. If I have hurt feelings, I have not denied myself. No. I think very highly of myself. I think I have a right to what I think about myself. Wrong. I don't. James chapter 3. It speaks there about if I have bitter envying and strife in my heart, that kind of thing is earthly, it is sensual, it is devilish. If I have envy of any sort in my mind, I envy anybody else. If I don't like what somebody else said or somebody else does, and I have envy in my heart and I have strife in my heart, I'm going to put that person down. I'm going to put that person in his place. That is devilish. We need to repent. If I allow sin like that, I don't even call it sin because I call it my right, and yet it's sin. It's a horrible black sin that's against my name, and I am not ready to meet God. And Jesus is going to come for me one day, and I will not be ready. Heaven will not be open for me if I have hurt feelings in my heart, if I have grudges in my heart. Heaven is not ready for me. Heaven is a closed door for me. People, brothers, sisters, we need to wake up. We need to walk with God. We need to cry out for God to revive my heart and soul that I can truly follow God all the way. In this precious verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Exactly. Exactly, Noah. That's so true. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do you know what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what it means to believe? It's like this story that took place in Niagara Falls many years ago. A man walked over the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And everybody cheered, especially one man in the front really cheered. And then he said, who do you think? Do you people think that I can carry somebody over on my back? Yes, of course you can. You, he's pointing to the man that was cheering the loudest. I want you to come on my back and I'll carry you across Niagara Falls. And he disappeared. He believed with his mouth, but not with his heart. Do I believe like that? Do I believe like that? Do I believe Jesus like that? That I commit my whole life, and I hang on to him. The devil comes to me and says, ha, you're not a Christian. I put my trust in the blood of Jesus. That is all that I don't need any of my good works. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I claim it for myself, and I repent of my sin. And I have nothing to do with sin. I'm afraid of sin. I have a fear of sin. And I'd want God to be everything to me. I want all that God can give me. Deal me to pray, make me as holy, O God, as it is possible for God to make a man holy. That's why I say to you, dear people, pursue holiness. Desire to be holy for God. 1 Peter chapter 1, be holy for I am holy. What does that mean? Be all there. God is holy. He is completely here for me. If I love God with all my heart, then I don't love him with 99%. I love him with 100%. Everything. That's holiness. With all my heart, I love him. With all my soul, with all my strength, with all my might, I love him. That's holiness. All there. God has set apart him that is holy for himself. That's what God wants of us. But sin cannot have any place in me. What does it mean to accept that I'm a sinner, that I have done wrong, that I've spoken wrong, that I've thought highly about myself? What does it take? It takes humility. It takes brokenness. There was one dear brother that I had many years ago. He died in the 90s. He spoke in German. He sagt, is that so? Ein gebrochenes Herz meint, dass es alles verschmettert ist. That means, in Plotty will say, that alles verschmettert ist. That means, von mir selbst, mein inner Mensch, verschmettert ist. Du hast nicht nur merkwürdig vor Jesus sein. Ganz hart mit Jesus dienen. Mit ganz hart am Nuran. Sinnhaft. Sinn kann nicht in mein Leben wohnen. Kann nicht in mein Leben herrschen. Kann nicht. Hab kein Ruhm da. Aber wenn ich Hochmut in mein Hort habe, dann wo ich sehr jen an, wenn einer zu mir redet oder der Jesus zu mir redet und sagt, John, dit dort ist nicht reicht. Aber wenn ich wirklich gebrochen sehe, dann kann ich das annehmen, was Gott sein Wort sagt. And so I challenge you, dear people, run with God. Go all the way with God. Say, I am here. I want to serve you all with all that I have. Don't allow sin in your life. Don't. It's a joy to serve the Lord Jesus. It's a joy to have no sin in your life, to have nothing plaguing your mind, or have this or that. I have thought of, no, repent of it. Make things right with your brother or sister. What's the use? Why do you want to continue to drag that stuff along? Why do you want to run a race with a big 100-pound bag of flour on your back and you're going to run a race and you're going to get to the finish line? You'll never make it to the finish line. You'll never make it. You're going to fall. You're going to stagger. You're going to fall down. You can't. You can't. God calls us to be revived. God calls us to repent of our sin and turn to Him. What does it mean to repent? Simply this means to change the way you think. Change the way you think. Think the way Jesus thinks and speaks. That's why it's so important to be so full of the Word of God. Like D.L. Moody had this glass of empty glass sitting here on this pulpit, and he said, how can I get the air out of this glass? And one man stood up and said, well, that's what you do. You attach this big suction cup on there, or you this motor, and then you extract the air. Oh, no, deal. He said, that's way too complicated. Of course, it would never work because the glass was shattered before you got done. And so he said, no, it's very simple. You fill it with water, and then the air is all out. And that's how it is. How do I get self out of my life? Just to daily soak myself in the Word of God, to daily cry to God, Lord, fill me with your power and your might. God has not given us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. What kind of power is that? Dynamite. And I keep asking God, please, I don't understand. I don't understand. Really? But God, I need so much more of you. I need so much more of you. I desire to have this power. And this love, and this sound mind, a mind that can think, that can process as God thinks. And so I challenge you, dear people, search your own heart, truly to pray what it says in Psalm 139, the last two verses. Search me, O God. When God searches, do you think He finds anything? Oh, He sure does. And how I need to repent again and again. Say, God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I cannot hold a grudge against anybody. I cannot hold. And so what do you need to do? If you sense there is a grudge in your heart, if you sense there is something in your heart, what do you do? Do what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Bless them. How do you bless them? Like this. A man or anybody else says something bad about me behind my back and I hear it through some other line, or he does something, and then I come to God in prayer, says I say, okay, let's say this man's name is Mr. Metzky. I say, God, I pray that you would bless that Mr. Metzky and that you would pour your love and your grace upon that man, and just may he just sense that you're there. Some might say, "Well, then God will condone what he has done." No. God knows how to bless way better than I do, and you. Bless them that curse you. Bless them which despitefully use you. Pray for them. That's what you do. And what happens then when you do that? That burden, that grudge rolls off your back and you're free. You can look that man, you can look that woman, you can look that child in the face, and they might have done this. You can look them straight in the eye and there's nothing in your heart against them. And if it comes back again, do it again. Pray for them again. If that thing comes back again, do it again. Do it again. And every time you do it, that grudge or that thing or whatever it is, that hard feeling just gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And you continue to serve God. You continue to obey God. Because if I have hurt feelings, if I hold grudges, I am living a disobedient life. I am not walking with God. I am a weak, miserable, failing Christian. And I couldn't even call myself one. Because I will not be ready for heaven when Jesus comes for me. So my dear brothers and sisters, I just tell you, run with God all the way. Serve him with all your heart. And the Christian life is such a joyous life. It's just a joyous life. And how we can bless and encourage one another. And it's so precious. And it's so precious. To be so in tune with God. So in tune with his word. And I tell you again, and I tell you this to you, Noah, love the Word of God. Love it. Read much in it. Be rich. Allow it to dwell in you richly. Just as it says in Colossians 3. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you do it by spending time in it. Some people, they memorized whole chapters. That's precious. And especially a young man like you can do it very easily, no doubt. And so memorize portions, memorize verses, write them down here on papers and so on, stick them into your pocket, look at them during the day or whatever. And maybe you shouldn't do it for your teacher. My teacher might think you're looking at notes, whatever. But you have the Word of God, and let it dwell in you richly. And it's going to fill you with power. It's going to fill you with strength, and it's going to fill you with a greater longing for God to direct you, because God is so good. God is so good, and it's so precious to walk with God. And Noah, yes, and then spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer. Pray for others, you know, and just be that faithful soul, and you know, and just keep asking God, what do you want me to do? And you might not, but as you read God's word, it'll just become so precious to you, and you'll live it out, and you'll be a blessing and a testimony. You don't even have to say anything to other young people around you, because God's word is so full in you, and God's spirit is just living his life through you. Your life's going to speak. It's going to speak volumes to those around you. So live wholly for God, and God will just reward you mightily. And I say that to all of you young people, older ones, because nobody's old here. We're just a little bit older than somebody else, that's all. But what does God want us to do? Oh, that we would be people that rejoice. The Lord God, like it says in Psalm 84, verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He's a sun and a shield. And oh, I desire for Jesus Christ, for God, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heavenly armies, to be my shield. Psalm 47, verse 9, I think it is, says, the shields of the earth belong to God. The shields of the earth belong to God. What that means is this. God decides what that shield being there protecting me. And I look to God for his protection, even this very day. The shields of the earth belong to God. He puts his angels, his ministering spirits, right there and protects me. But if I walk in disobedience, I can't expect those shields to be there. And he might lift that shield. That's up to his sovereign wisdom. Sometimes he might cause a shield to lift. And I tremble because I know God is absolutely all wise. And he knows how much time I have left. I may not even live to the end of this day. But I want to live out the last verse of James chapter 4. Where in the King James it says this. Therefore him that knoweth to do good and does it not to commit a sin. What that verse to me means is this. Live this day totally, completely, entirely dependent upon God. Live this day. Don't live in the past. Old men, old women probably do that. Right? Live in the past. Dann holt wir das Geld, nicht? Nu haben wir das schlecht. Nee, das ist nicht so. That's a lie. We have it very good today. God is very good. Very good. And don't live in the future. We'll do this and we'll do this. No. Live today. Fully dependent upon God. Live out what he works in. Be true. Follow him all the way. And God will mightily reward you. Confess your sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say weakness. No, it doesn't say infirmity, because that's, of course, not a sin. But sin. If I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive my sin, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That precious little word, all, A-L-L, all. There's far more unrighteousness bound up in sin than I know. But he cleanses me from it when I confess the sin. And that's so very, very precious. And now I want all of us to turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I want to read verse 18. But I want to, maybe I should read some, or I should maybe read a whole, maybe I should read this whole portion from starting at verse 14 and read to the end. But I want to center my attention in verse 18. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out. I will vomit thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then verse 18, and that's a very precious answer to souls that desire to be revived, desire to come back to full fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, desire to live wholly for God, to pursue after God, to be all for here for him in these days in which we live. Verse 18, I counsel thee. When God counsels, he counsels good words. He speaks words and works to me that I need exactly, precisely, exactly for what I need. I counsel thee. I always have to get my words back here again. My verses here. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of the nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. That's what he counsels. Three things. I'll read it to the end of the chapter here. And then he says this. As many as I love, I rebuke. As many as I love, I rebuke. If you don't allow yourself to be rebuked, you don't allow yourself to be loved by God. Wenn du die nicht lautet des, dass Gott die so rede und die verschimpfe, dann lass die Leib Gottes nicht in die kommen. As many as I love, I rebuke. I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that has an ear, let him hear. But I counsel thee to try to buy of me gold tried in the fire. How do you buy something? You simply exchange things. When I buy something at the store, I take a $5 bill or I take a $10 bill or I have my credit card or I take my debit card and I put it on the appropriate mechanism and then I get some goods, groceries or a bag of apples, whatever it is. And I take that and they have my money and their bank account gets higher and mine a little bit lower and I have those goods. I have those apples or I have, whatever I need. And then I go home. Jesus says here, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Gold tried in the fire is obviously something tough to go through. So if God puts me through a trial, don't blame anybody on it. Don't even if it looks like people did it, it's God. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The Christian man who sees all the circumstance around him, all the things that happen to him, all the tough things that he has to go through, all the hard things he has to go through, he sees everything as the hand of God. So he never blames people. They make it tough for him. He sees God behind it all. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And so God puts us through hard things. And as he counsels me, I buy of him gold tried in the fire. And then I am truly rich. If you go through a trial and you complain and you whimper and you cry, you're not getting any gold. If you go through a hardship, whatever it may be, it might be physical, it may be mental, it may be emotional, whatever it is, it may be very real, of course, it is very real, and it's hard. But if you truly see it as God in your life, you see that God is absolutely in charge of your life, and he allows this because he desires my life to be pure. And it causes hardship that ever I go through causes me to lay things to the side that beset me so that I can with beautiful freedom run this race. And so I have this hardship. I have this infirmity or I have this handicap or whatever it is. And God gives me grace. I tell you, that is ever so true. And he gives me gold, real gold, gold that doesn't rust, gold that nobody can ever steal from me. So when I stand before God, I'm rich. I have all this gold because I accepted everything as from God, from Jesus. I accept it from him because I know he loves me. That's gold tried in the fire. Then secondly, he says, get from me white raiment that you may be clothed, and that your shame of your nakedness do not appear. And his white raiment is his righteousness. I am dressed in his righteousness. He makes me righteous. One of the most glorious passages in the Bible is Romans chapter 5, where we're justified by faith. That I am made righteous by faith in Jesus. That is glorious. It's not what I do. It's what he has done for me and his righteousness. He justifies me. That's incredible. That's why I can believe what it says in Jude 24 and 25, that one day I will stand before God and he will present me with just faultless before the presence of his holy. My words go too fast. I'm sorry. My words run too fast. I can't get my words out fast enough. Some men are better called, they were gifted. They can just run like a machine gun. My words don't come out so fast. Anyways, Jesus able to present me faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. I look at my faults and I say, how can that be? But that, because this white raiment is his righteousness, and so he dresses me in his righteousness, and I stand before God dressed in Jesus' righteousness. Oh, that's marvelous. And then the last one. Eye salve that you may see. Get from me salve for your eyes that you may see. For your eyes that you can truly see. And oh God, I need that salve. That I can see people through the eyes of Jesus. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. That I could look like that. That I could see like Jesus saw. We see so different. We see with eyes of flesh. We might say, oh, that man looks handsome. Or we say, that woman looks ugly. That's not how Jesus looked. No. Give me eye salve that I can truly see. That's what God wants of us. So we can see one another with true love of God. By this shall a man know that you're my disciples by the love that you have for each other. By the love that you have for each other. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Philippians chapter 4. Let your moderation, that means let your sweet reasonableness be known to all men. Especially in your house. Especially in your home. That's right. That's right. And so may God do that for us, that we might take Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, and very diligently apply that to us. Nehmt Offenbarung Kapitel 3, Vers 18, nehmt det til jun hot, and leeft dort ut. May God bless you, my dear people. God is so good when he points sin out to me, and I can have the grace to repent, to change the way I think and see that. Yeah, that's right, Lord. That's right. I see it. And sometimes God uses somebody else to point sin out to me. And I can say, yes, you are right. You are right. That's right. And have no excuse. But simply say, yes, you are right. I am wrong. No excuse, no try to, oh, no, but I meant this, I meant that. No, you are right. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The call to revival is a call to repentance. My dear people, let's be faithful in that. And God is going to prepare for himself a people glorious, marvelous, strong in faith, giving glory to God. And we will be a people that the community will look at and say, what did God do there? Look at that. I don't know what they will say. But the important thing is, yes, God's testimony of me is what's important. And then whatever other people say, let them say what they want to say, what they think they might say. But Let my light so shine before men that they may glorify God in heaven. Yes. And so may we be faithful to the very end. God bless you real good. And let us stand to pray.